We're going to take a little disciplinary exercise tonight. Exercise is good for all of us. How good of a listener are you? Can you imagine Old Testament days and times? They would build a stand, maybe not as painted and nice and shiny as this one. But the priest would arise and he would stand, and all the people would stand, and they would read all of the law. How good of a listener are you? Oh dear, where is he going? Which is the point. How good of a listener are you? We're going to be reading tonight. We're just going to read two passages. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Actually, no. But, yes. A part of the Old Testament and a part of the New Testament. But before we read it, I want you to think about some things. It is so very beneficial to read Scripture. And when you read Scripture, it has an impact because it corrects thinking. It causes you to look at things differently than what you thought. And it also will challenge your thinking to say, well, I haven't considered it that way before. And we want to look at Scripture. And I want us to be thinking about grace, what it means, and the salvation that is offered to us by God. And what it says about us, but more importantly, what it says about Him. And if we understand both sides of it, then we come to a better understanding of God's grace. There's a question I want you to consider before we start the reading that will tie into this. And it has to do with Jesus. What kind of man is it that when he comes to know that because of the perfection of his life will be accepted by God as the payment for the sins of all humanity, and he gives that life to pay for the sins of all humanity? But we understand more than that about him, because he is God come in the flesh. He is God who came here to be like us so that he could do that. Because it was only a perfect sacrifice that God would accept, and he came to be that perfect sacrifice. No human being other than him could have done that. And when we contemplate what kind of man this was, then belief in him compels us to become like him. Compels us to become like him in every way. But there's another side to this that is just as important. How horrible is what we have done? If this is the only way it could be paid for. And if the death of all of us, the death of the majority of us, would not pay for the whole of us. And our death for the whole of us would not be payment for the sin to put us in right standing with God. It would only be to destroy us because of our sin. How horrible must this be in the sight of God? And how flippantly we treat sin. And if we come to know the sacrifice that was offered for us, how can we be so flippant about our sin? And why can we not understand God's grace and the repentance it demands? and the turning to Him. And why do we hold on to this idea of grace, that God is happy with me whatever I'm doing and wherever I am? And why are we not under the understanding and impression that we need to be changing and moving toward Him and toward His likeness? So for that reason, there are two readings I wanted us to read. They dominate the Old Testament, the thoughts in these two readings. You can put them both up. One of them is in the Old Testament. It'll be Ezekiel chapter 36. And the other one is in the New Testament. It'll be 2 Peter chapter 3. But what is said in these two passages is said in Genesis. What is said in these two passages is said in the Law of Moses. What is said in these two passages is said throughout the Old Testament. But what is said in these two passages is said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What is said in these two passages is said in all of the New Testament. And they are important for us to know and for us to understand. And there's some things about God we don't need to forget. And there's some things about this grace that God offers to us we don't need to forget. And so if you have your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 36, we're going to start the reading in verse 16 in just a second. But let me tell you about Ezekiel. It's in about 586 B.C. that the nation of Judah comes to an end. And the city of Jerusalem is destroyed. Ezekiel lives on both sides of that. He is living at the time that happens. In the first part of his book, it's prophecies with regard to what's going to occur when God comes and destroys Jerusalem. A thing that the people of Judea thought would never happen, because that's where God's temple was. That's where his dwelling place was. And God would never destroy his dwelling place, but he most certainly did. And then Ezekiel is one of the first of the captives to be taken away into Babylonian captivity. And there he writes about the future and what God is going to do and why. What God is going to do and why he's doing it. And why he has already destroyed. And it's important for us to take a look and to read and remember. There are copies of the NIV on some of the back of some of the pews. You can use those. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. The New American Standard updated version. It's not just the New American Standard. It's the New American Standard updated, which means if you're reading in the New American Standard, it may read a little different. Don't take the difference as a negative, and don't let it interfere with your ability to pay attention. Because just consider the differences in the reading between the translation as an expounding on the definition of the different Hebrew words and Greek words that we'll be reading that have been translated for us. But let's all of us do this. Listen to these words and look at what they're saying about God and about us and about what's important to Him. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel was living in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Is God concerned about what we do? Does what we do, the decisions that we make, the way that we live, and the things we spend our time doing, do they impact God? Yes, they do. For Israel, the entire land had been defiled as unholy because of the way they lived, the things they were doing. And this is the detestable part. Their way before me was like the uncleanness of a woman in her impurity, the filthy rags, the things that are absolutely detestable. That were the deeds of the people of Israel. Therefore, I poured out my wrath on them for the blood which they had shed on the land, because they had defiled it with their idols. It wasn't God that controlled their life. It was themselves through the idol to whom they gave voice. It wasn't God controlling their life. It was the things they wanted to do. Also, I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the lands. According to their ways and their deeds, I judged them. I no longer allowed them to live in my land because of what they were doing and how they were living. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name. Because it was said of them, "These are the people of the Lord." Yet they have come out of his land. These are the people of the Lord. Look what he's done to them. These are the people of the Lord. And he wouldn't let them stay in the land that he gave to them. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. He had concern for his name, and it be holy. And because they were called by his name, he had concern for his people that they become holy because they wore his name. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. I prove myself holy by not putting up with the deeds that you're performing. And he did not. It almost echoes what was told David when he committed the sin with Bathsheba. And God told him that what was going to occur as a result of that sin and the punishment that was going to take place with regard to his own children, what was going to happen, with regard to him, what was going to happen, and with regard to the child, what was going to happen. Because God said, the enemies will say, this is the God David worships. And no matter what David does, even in killing another man to get his wife, God is okay. And God said, these things are going to happen so that my name won't be blasphemed among the enemies. Forgiven? Yes. Difficulty as a result because of what's been done to the name of God? Yes. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. I'm bringing you back, but it's not because you're so good. I'm bringing you back because you wear my name. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Not because you deserve it, but because of my name. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will learn this lesson. And they did. They did a number of other things wrong, But when Israel came out of Babylonian captivity, they never worshiped idols again. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers, so you will be my people and I will be your God. Moreover, I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and I will not bring a famine on you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the produce of the field, so that you will not receive again the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves and all in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. I am not doing this for your sake, declares the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Kind of gives a different picture of God's grace, doesn't it? And never let it be said that what you do doesn't matter and that your conduct is not important. And that the reason God forgives, because of who He is in His name, and He gives His people a new heart, a new mind, which is echoed for us in all the different passages when we come to the New Testament. Look how similar this sounds to what Peter writes in the book of 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 10, we're not going to read very far, but we'll start in verse 10. How are you doing with listening? I started to make a joke. I started to say, you want me to call names? But it's not me that's important. 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, the idea, we make a joke of it, but the discipline of listening and listening to what God says and focusing on it and giving it our attention, I'm afraid is a discipline that a lot of us need to improve on a great deal. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things, what are all these things? All the things that we love so much about where we are, that are just far here. All the things that we delight in. We don't have to name them, do we? But since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, then what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? So really, you know, in all seriousness, all joking aside, which world do I really live for? The one here or that one there? And that's Peter's question. Since everything around you is going to be destroyed, then what kind of people ought you to be in the way you conduct yourself and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Do we look for it? Do we long for it? Because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells by those who are righteous here. By those who belong to Him. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells, then you be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless, and blameless. You live for him now. You be his holy people as he is holy. And conduct yourself as the people who belong to him, so that we can live in that land where righteousness dwells. It's what God wants. It's why Jesus came. It's why Jesus died. It's what we're called to be. It's important for us sometimes to just let us read God's word, so God can say, don't forget what I'm like. Don't forget what I want. Don't forget what I'm looking for. Don't forget what it means to be my people. And that's what these verses do. They help us to remember. They help us to see. And they call us to being what God would have us to be. So, yeah, it matters how I conduct myself. It matters what I say. It matters what I do. It matters what I think. It matters how I spend my time. It matters what my life is about. Because I'm called by his name. I am called as one of his. I call myself one of his. Just like Israel did. And so it behooves me to strive to be his in everything that I do. Somebody needs to answer a phone, so we're going to offer the invitation. If you are ready to become a part of the body of Christ, you're ready to be clothed with Christ and washed in his blood. If you need to come home to him, we want to offer you his invitation as together we stand and as we sing.